Good morning, church. It's great to be here this morning. We have some that are still missing, but we have some that's been away for a while. It's certainly good to see each one, and we have most everybody here this morning. It's a good day. It's cool enough and windy enough to be West Texas, so we need to enjoy it while it's here. Again, it's great to be alive and to be able to come together upon the first day of the week, that we can come and worship, that we can sing songs and offer up our prayers and remember those that are less fortunate than we. And again, it's great to have each one, and we have some visitors, and we always are encouraged by visitors and hope we're in encouragement to each of you. This morning, as we begin the service, we'd like to start with a word of prayer. Father, again, we're grateful for the privilege of just being Americans, living in a country that we can worship without fear, without outside interference that so many countries face each day. And Father, be with those that are working in our mission fields and those under difficult circumstances, that they can look to you for guidance, that they can hold to the faith, that they can spread your word to bring many more souls into the kingdom. Father, be with each of us here at Sunrise as we come together to worship, that we might just dismiss the cares of the day and center them upon the cross. Again, Father, we are so thankful for each one. Be with us as we go through this service, through our singing and through the worship, through the lesson that Michael brings this morning. Be with us on down through life. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
First song will be number 233. 233. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of His name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrow cease, tells music in the sinner's ear, life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. 522. 522. O God, our help in ages past, hope for yours to come. A shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal home. And our eternal home. Beneath the shadow of thy throne, thy saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. And our defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. To endless years the same. Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Be thou our God while it shall last, and our eternal home, and our eternal home.
778 will be our song for scripture reading and prayer.
Be with me, Lord, I cannot live without thee. I dare not try to take one step alone. I cannot bear the house of life unaided. I need thy strength to lean myself upon. Be with me, Lord, and then if dangers threaten, if storms of trial burst above my head, if lashing seas leap everywhere about me, they cannot harm or make my heart afraid. Be with me, Lord, no other gift or blessing thou couldst bestow could this thought replay. A constant sense of an abiding presence where I am, to feel that thou art near. Be with me, Lord, when loneliness o'ertakes me, when I must weep amid the fires of pain, and when shall come the hour of my departure, for worlds unknown, O Lord, be with me then.
Good morning. The scripture reading will be from Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 through 17. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you make it a den of robbers. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things he did, and the children cried out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. And they said to them, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you ever read, 'Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise'?" And leaving them, he went on to the city of Bethany and lodged there. Will you bow with me? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for another day that we can come together and worship you and praise you, Lord. We pray that during this time you calm our hearts and calm our minds and let us forget all other outside influences at this time and let us focus on the one true and living God and let us praise you forever. And so in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Psalm before communion, 350. 350. When my love to Christ grows weak, when far deeper faith I seek, then in thought I go to thee, Garden of Gethsemane. There I walk amid the shades, while the lingering twilight fades. See the suffering friendless one, weeping, praying there alone. When my love for man grows weak, when for stronger faith I seek, hill of Calvary I go, to thy scenes of fear and woe. There behold his agony, suffered on the bitter tree. See his anguish, see his faith, love triumphant still in death. Then to life I turn again, learning all the worth of pain, learning all the might that lies in a full
self-sacrifice. Good morning, church. If anybody didn't get communion supplies, just raise your hand. We can provide that to you. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your body that was hung on the cross for us. Thank you for that great sacrifice and act of love for us. That through your body being broken, that we could become one with you again. Lord, I pray that as we take this bread, that we would always remember that. It's in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Lord, I pray that as we take this cup, that that we never would forget your blood that was shed on the cross for us. And thank you for just the power that it holds, that it's still alive and active today, and still washes away our sin. I pray that, Lord, that we would just go out daily and share your word with those that we come into contact with, and that we would just be able to show them the way to go, and that they would just partake in your blood as well. It's in your name, brother Jesus. Amen. This time we're going to say the prayer for the offering. Lord Jesus, I thank you for just for everything that you provide us with, and I pray that as we return a portion back to you, that it would just be used to just further your kingdom, and it would just be used wisely and just to help those that are in need. I pray all this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Mark your songbooks, number 947. 947 will be the song of invitation. Song for Michael's lesson, 903. 903.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you arrive all our victory when? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood. Of the Lamb, there is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you do service for Jesus your King? That power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood.
Church. Glad you're here today. It's a beautiful morning. The wind is blowing. Bring in those cooler temperatures this week, so that'll be nice. I'm ready for 70 instead of 90. I'm excited. 32. Just keep going. I saw in some communities the Halloween stuff is already out. I thought, well, that's appropriate. 2 months from now, it'll really look scary and decrepit and worn out. So that's about it. So I figure this year, November 1st, Santa will probably be in people's front yards. No? Oh, it's already up? There you go. All right. We're going to go to our Father in prayer, and then we're going to get in the Word this morning. So let's bow before Him. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for drawing us together in Your holy name. Father, we come to You because You alone sit on the throne. In Your hands are all power. We believe. We trust You. We follow You. And we confess that we fail You. Father, forgive us. Heal us. Direct our steps. Father, You alone are worthy of praise. You alone are worthy of glory and honor. We thank You for showing us Your Son. We thank You, Father, for opening our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to the gift that Jesus has provided for us. And I pray, Father, that as we have received Your gift of love and mercy, that we too will become givers of love and mercy. Blessed be Your name. And I pray, Lord, that as we study Your word together today, that we will see You clearly, that we will be strengthened for what lies ahead, that we will know how to live. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and open your Bible to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Now you remember the life of David. David is king, and he spent so much of his time and so much of his energy basically fighting and running from his enemies. He was chased from every side. He had enemies just to get to the throne. He had enemies in his own house. He had enemies, foreign nations that were coming after him. And so he spent so much of his reign, of his rule, basically fighting. And so he comes closer to the end of his time as king, and he starts to look around. He says, you know, I kind of want something lasting here. I kind of want to leave something for those that come after me. And so in his heart, he says, I know what I'll do. I'll build a house for the Lord. I'll build a house for God. And so it's in his heart and in his mind. He said, I'm going to do something great for God. I'm going to build Him a temple. God comes to him and says, you aren't going to do this. Great idea, but your role in my kingdom has been as warrior. Your hands have shed a lot of blood. And so I'm not going to let you build me a house. I'm going to let your son build my house. And so David doesn't build the temple. Solomon builds the temple. And having built the temple, he goes to it and he dedicates it and he brings in all the animals and he offers up all the sacrifices, and God shows up. God shows up. He accepts the building that has been built for him. He accepts this place that he will live, that he will dwell, that he will meet his people. And I want us to pick it up in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, starting in verse 11. 7:11, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, all that Solomon had planned to do in the house of the Lord and in his own house he successfully accomplished. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be opened and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time. And as for you, if you will walk before me as David your father walked, doing according to all that I have commanded you and keeping my statutes and my rules, then I will establish your royal throne as I covenanted with David your father, saying, you shall not lack a man to rule Israel. So the house is built. God shows up and he says, I choose this place. I choose this place that you have built so that we can meet here. He will dwell with his people. He will receive their sacrifices. And then God says, now look, whenever you go astray, whenever I send punishment upon you, there are some things that you need to do. So he says, you need to humble yourself in verse 14. If you will pray, if you will seek my face, if you will turn from your wicked ways, God says, I will hear and I will heal the land. All right, so God looks down at his people, at his children. And he says, we're going to meet here. This is going to be the place where you and I are united. But if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, if you're not living faithfully, if you're not following me, and I send punishment, there are some things that you need to do so that the punishment will end. Yesterday, if you didn't notice in the news, was an amazing day. As believers gathered together and marched together and prayed. Such a beautiful picture. And church, it's what we're supposed to be doing. Because we look around and I think it's fair for all of us to admit that the land needs healing. The only problem is that God's people, well, we don't do what God tells us to do. The land needs healing, and we start what? If they weren't acting like this, if they weren't doing this, if they would just get their act together, then finally God could do something. Yet, who does God call to react to him? His people. His people. He says, if my people will humble their hearts before me, if my people will pray, if my people will turn from their own wickedness, then healing will come. Now, the amazing thing about what God has done for us through his son, Jesus Christ, is that if we do this in our own lives, this is how we find salvation, is it not? We humble our hearts before God. We confess our sins to him. We pray, Lord, save me. Save me from my sin. And he hears. And he forgives. And he heals. And yet, there's such a broader picture. And this works for, I guess, our individual salvation, right? But part of being the church, part of being God's people here in this world, is that our concern should go a little bit beyond our own personal salvation. Our concern, our hearts should be big enough for the land around us. Should be big enough for those that we not only come in contact with, but those that are suffering. Those that are lost. Those that are far from God. Well, Garrett read for us in Matthew chapter 21. And so many years after this, Jesus finds the temple not being used properly. He shows up at the temple and he says, oh, wait a minute. wait a minute, this is not what God's house needs to be. They turned it into a place for business, and he says, my Father's house is a house of prayer. My Father's house is a house of prayer. This is the place where people come to God. And if we're putting something here, if we're putting up a barrier from people coming to God, then we are not treating his house properly. Now, there's an amazing thing. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 21. There's an amazing thing here because these two stories are connected. What's going on back here in 2 Chronicles 21 and then what Jesus experiences and what he does in Matthew chapter 21 are connected. So Jesus says, look, healing and mercy are still found here. And so he heals people who are sick. He extends mercy to others. And then what do the people do? The children cry out in the temple. The children cry out in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David. Now, did you hear what they just said? The children who have seen what is happening in the life and the ministry of Jesus have just recognized this is the fulfillment of what God told Solomon all those years ago. If you follow me, I will not leave your house unattended without a king. And so all the children see what Jesus is doing in God's temple and they're like, we give praise to the king. We give praise to the king. Of course, everyone around is going, well, hey, Jesus, do you not realize what they're calling you? And Jesus says, I sure do. I understand completely. They recognize the king of God. They recognize the one sent by God to rule. I'm sorry, you can't see it. Let's continue in verse 18. We're in Matthew 21, verse 18, because right after this, something interesting happens. In the morning, as he was returning to the city, he became hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he went to it and found nothing on it but only leaves. And he said to it, may no fruit ever come from you again. And the fig tree withered at once. When the disciples saw it, they marveled. We learned a little bit about that Wednesday night. Saying, how did the fig tree wither at once? So Jesus, right after this clearing of the temple, and again, a lot of times we look at that clearing of the temple story and say, well, yeah, they're not doing what they're supposed to be. So Jesus comes in and he turns over their tables and he has all of his righteous indignation and he gets all upset. And so it's okay for us to get upset about certain things of God that we can follow that example. But we're missing the larger point that Jesus is coming into God's temple ready to be anointed as God's rightful king. And because they're not using God's temple in the ways that it should, just like the fig tree. I go to a fig tree, I expect figs. There's no figs there, and Jesus says, no more figs ever again. He curses it. And the disciples are like, whoa, it withers and dies. Only thing is, wait a minute, back in 2 Chronicles 7, after God's warning, after he promises all these things, we're back in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 19. But if you turn aside and forsake my statutes and my commandments that I have set before you and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck you up from my land that I have given you and this house that I have consecrated for my name. I will cast out of my sight and I will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. See what just happened there? Jesus shows up at the temple. He takes claim of his rightful title and position. He truly is a son of David. He is a king to sit on God's throne. He is the last king to sit on God's throne, because he, through the resurrection, is eternal. And so God needs no further king. God has his king on his throne. You and I, as God's people, have our final king on his throne. His name is the name to be revered, to be confessed. And so we confess him as Lord and Savior, as Master, as King, as Boss. And so we confess him as Savior, as one who has sacrificed, as one who has paid our ransom, as one who has rescued us from sin and death. See, Jesus has fulfilled all these things that God has put forward way back when in the original temple. And Jesus comes along and says, yes, yes, this is exactly what the Father is doing. So, with all of that interesting history, with all of that wonderful enlightenment, let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Because it doesn't do us any good. It doesn't do us any good if we don't have the, okay, well, what about me? What about me? Right? That's what we want to know. What about me? Where do I fit in all this? What does this have to do for my life? Ephesians chapter 2. Let's see. As the temple of the Lord continues now, let's see what about me. Ephesians 2:11 says, therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to those who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, because Jesus has done all of this, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So the Apostle Paul tells the church here in the first century, made up of Jewish believers who have come to put their faith in Christ as the Messiah, Gentile believers who were not God's people yet have heard of the good news that Jesus Christ died for their sins and is calling them to become part of God's family. And 2,000 years later, we hear the same message, that Jesus Christ, through his own body, through his own sacrifice for our sins, has called all who hear to his throne. That he gave his life so that we could be restored to our Creator and be a part of the one family. It's called a unity. It's a call to unity under the love of Christ, under the actions of Christ, under the lordship of Christ. He calls us all together, and now this message today is for the church. It's not just for those who are here this morning at Sunrise Church of Christ. The message is for his church. The message is for his church. It's so much bigger than us. We want to see it small, don't we? We want to see it small. We want to see it small with my salvation. So what do I do? Then we want to see it small with our local congregation. Well, I'm a part of this church, so what do we do? And yet, it's kind of difficult to not see how big it is. How big it is and what's going on around us. Christ's church his dwelling place, that all of us growing together into a holy temple in the Lord. And having been built together, we are that dwelling place that God looks at and says, I can live there. I can live there. Now, church, it shouldn't surprise us that we don't get this right. It shouldn't surprise us that we fail, because you do remember that Jesus is clearing out a rebuilt temple. Wasn't even the original. Wasn't even the original, because God had to bring in foreign nations to come in and knock down that original temple because God's people just weren't being faithful. So it shouldn't surprise us that we don't all get it right. It shouldn't surprise us that we hear the words of God and yet still, in our darkened hearts, we struggle. We refuse to be faithful. We refuse to listen and allow His Spirit to fill us, to dwell in us, to direct our steps, to guide our lives. So, it's not all bad. But church, we are called. We are called to be that dwelling place for the Lord. Wherever you go this week, you are that dwelling place for the Lord. As we gather together in His name, we are that dwelling place for the Lord. His Spirit is here among us. And like children, we should recognize it. We should recognize that He is here. We should recognize that hosannas deserve to be sung to God's King. He is the rightful one on the throne. I'm going to close in Hebrews chapter 4 this morning, because if you're not a Christian, sometimes it's kind of scared to think, well, that's really great news that Jesus died for my sins and I could find things like forgiveness and mercy and everything be okay. But sometimes it's hard for us believers too, is it not? It's hard for us believers to hear the word of God, the same word that He said back in 2 Chronicles 7. If my people will humble themselves, if they will pray to me, if they will turn away from their wickedness, they will be healed. Church, I want us to hear this today. Because it is not appropriate for God's people to hear His word, to see what goes on around us in this world and just sit smugly and say, I'm glad that's not me. I'm not out there causing any of the problems. I'm not out there causing any destruction. I'm not out there causing any of the problems or doing anything wrong. So Lord, my prayer is that You just fix everybody else. I mean, we've even convinced ourselves in our Lord, come quickly prayer. Lord, I know the scorecard. I'm one of the good ones, so come quickly and wipe out all the bad ones. God says, if my people who were called by my name will seek my face, will pray, will turn their hearts back to me, then I will send healing. That sounds like a very personal prayer, does it not? That doesn't sound like something I can relegate to somebody else. That doesn't sound like a solution that I can say, well, they ought to get their act together because I got my act together. It sounds like a very personal prayer for all of us believers, repenting and turning back to God. Recognizing our eternal King on His throne. And so Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Church, we as believers, we as those who have made our confession, we hold fast to our confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that I am a sinner, and my sin has separated me from my Creator. And I need the price that He paid with His life on the cross to be credited to me. Because if I stand before God without that debt being paid for me, I will be lost. The prayer is never that of the Pharisee who stands and looks at God and says, God, I am so very grateful. I am not like these other sinners. That is never the prayer of a righteous person. The prayer is, God, I am so grateful that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. Because I can't be saved without Him. And I can't save myself. I am in need of a Savior. And I trust and I believe and I hope and I know that the work accomplished on Calvary satisfied you to save me. We draw near to the throne of mercy with that confidence. We draw near to the throne of mercy with that confidence, not confident in ourselves. Not confident in our own actions, our own words, and our own abilities, but confident in the sacrifice of Christ. And what do we receive there? Mercy and grace to help in time of need. Jesus Christ, our high priest, understands how we fail. He does. He didn't fail, but he understands. He understands when we fail. When we draw near in humility with prayer and repentance, we will find mercy. We will find help in time of need. Church, this message is bigger than us this morning. This message is bigger than me. It's bigger than you. This message is big enough for our families, for our friends, for our enemies, for our cities, for our states, for our nation, for all the nations, for the world. God has a king sitting on his throne. And church, if we have been saved by the love of Christ, we have got to be motivated by that same love. If it is the love of Christ that has saved us, that has brought us to repentance, that has brought us to our knees, that has brought us to confessing that I'm a sinner and I need the Lord's forgiveness. When we understand that power, when we understand all that God has done for us, then we can't just stop at our own personal salvation. We can't just look at the people that we brought sitting on the pew next to us this morning and say, okay, these handful are good. My work here is done. That's not what God calls His people to do. He calls His people to recognize our King. He wants to dwell among us. He doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't make us fight barehanded. He doesn't refuse to show us where to go, how to speak, provide the words, how to share the good news. He's there leading every step of the way. So, this morning, if you're a Christian, I hope that you understand that when you became a Christian, that wasn't the last time that you need to turn back to Him, find mercy, and find strength. This morning, if you're not a Christian, He invites you to turn to Him today, to find mercy, to find strength. God has put a big thing upon our shoulders, church. He's put a big thing upon our shoulders. Because the world won't see Him if we don't show them. They just won't. And it seems for all of our prayers that God, come fix these other people. I don't think they're that effective. I think it's time for the church to start praying as God has told us to pray, if we want to see God's results. It's not their problem. They don't know. It's our problem because we do. Let's be God's people. Let's be God's people. Let's stand together and sing.
Jesus is tenderly calling me home, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Is waiting, oh come to Him now, waiting today, come with thy sins at His feet, lowly bow, come and no longer delay,
got a couple things that we want to let everybody know about. A couple announcements. The pies for the LCU Associates pie booth here by Wednesday night, please. If you're planning on making a pie, Fern's going to take those out to the fair on Thursday. So if you're baking a pie, pies are baked, right? Pies are baked? Yeah? Okay. If you're baking a pie, make sure you have that here by Wednesday night. And then there is a baby shower for the McCoys, so all the ladies are invited. It is October 10th at 12:30 at 3724 Pontiac, and they are registered at Amazon, Target, and Best Buy Baby, and we'll put this out in the hallway so that you can see that. So that is Charlie's baby shower, October 10th at 12:30, and we'll put the details out there. Let's see. Yeah, baby Sharon McCoy's. Mark is back. We're very grateful for that. He said that it was an interesting experience of figuring out that you're clear. He said that the university called him on day 11, and he said, if you answer the phone, show that you're alive, they're like, okay, you can come back to work. So thankfully he was alive. He answered the phone and he's back at work. So we are very grateful that he is back with us as well. Also, we have prayed before for Consuelo, and this was a friend that someone that Donna knew, and she had a stroke, and they just thought she was gone. They thought she was gone, but she woke up, she came to, and she was actually speaking. And so we just wanted to praise God and just thank him for that healing. And that is Consuelo that we're going to remember in our prayers. So what other things do we need to remember today or this week? Or what do we need to be made aware of? All right. Well, let's close our time together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we humble our hearts and come before your throne of mercy. Father, we confess our own sins. We are the reason that Jesus had to come to earth to show us your perfect love and to die for our sins. Father, we thank you. We thank you for allowing him to suffer so that we could live. We thank you for allowing him to taste your wrath so that we could be saved. Father, we turn our hearts back to you. We confess to you those parts of our lives that we have kept hidden from you. We confess to you those secret sins that we have refused to be healed. We confess to you that we have chased after other things, that we have not been true to you. We confess to you, Father, that we have been selfish, that we have not had concern or love for others. We confess to you, Father, that our vision of what you are doing is very small. Father, forgive us. Father, our land needs your healing. Your children need to see your light. And I pray, Father, that you give us the strength this week to bring your love and your mercy into the world around us. I pray, Father, that you open our eyes and open our hearts to the needs around us. Father, that we will share, that we will give, that we will understand and recognize that the good news of Jesus is the best thing we have to offer this world. Father, we thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for dwelling with us. And we pray that each and every one of us will keep your temple, your living temple, holy and sanctified. Father, we are very grateful that Mark is back with us. We thank you for restoring his health. Father, we thank you for showing your power in Consuela's life. And we just pray that you help her to recover. Father, we lift up Rex, and we pray that you be his strength. We pray that you work in his body and in his mind for good. Father, we lift up Ian, and we ask for healing. We just ask that he is okay. We ask that his knee heals quickly, and he gets back on his feet. Father, we lift up Sherry, and we thank you for her successful surgery. And we just pray that that you will just bring her foot back to good. That you will be her strength. That you will get her back on her feet. And we just pray that this procedure is a blessing for her. Father, we are grateful that Lewis's health is good. We thank you for that. We thank you for giving him today. And we ask that you be with his son. We pray, Lord, that he sees your light, that he finds good. Father, be with Charlie. Be with Chester. Prepare them to be parents. And we just pray your blessings upon their child. Father, we ask your blessings upon all of our children. We ask your protection on those under our roofs and in our care, and those in the care of the womb, and those that are in difficult situations. Father, please give us hearts of children and for children so that we will always recognize you as King. We give you our Hosanna. We lift our hands in praise. Blessed be your name. We pray through Jesus. Amen.